Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, man, I've made it through the week with Abe Gordon. You know, I've had to look inside myself, and maybe I misjudged Abe. Yes. Is he loud? Certainly. Abrasive? Yeah. Full of strong, hot takes? Of course. That's what you do when you're a sports talk radio. But you know what? Getting to know Abe this week, he's an okay guy, and he's all right in my book. It is Dukes and Bell. We start every hour of the show with a big hearty,
Hey, man.
Day-Day is in charge, all dressed in orange. Looking like he's from Holland or something. We got Dominic over here pressing the buttons, and you know where you are. Great day for Ronald Acuna up in Gwinnett yesterday. Got it cooking with him. I mean, eventually
offensively.
Well, are you worried real quick off the jump?
No.
I mean, is he going to be like peg leg Acuna now?
No. I think you take a couple of days and get back used to it. And look, he hadn't seen a ball come off the bat at that speed, stuff like that. I'm talking about when he's in the field. He'll get used to it. I'm not worried, but it's also just a reason why, hey, this is why we didn't call him up after one game in the complex league to start in right field. Give him a couple times. He'll be fine.
Because I'm asking that on our show promo. Is Ronald going to be the same dude in right field? Because, you know, he was, you know, when he started his career, he's your center fielder. And then obviously as the injuries mounted and everything else changes, of course, the emergence of Michael Harris, et cetera, now he's a corner outfielder, which is fine because he's a leadoff hitter. But the base stealing things, the things that made him, you know, a historical figure, you know, that nobody outside of Atlanta ever seemed to give credit to. It's almost like you had to, like, you know, pull the MVP out of some of the baseball writers that year.
Well, look, I don't think he's going to go out there, no offense, look like Marcell Ozuna. No, like he's going to be a very good, probably above average fielder. Is he necessarily the entirety of what he was before both of these injuries? Potentially not, but I'm also not writing that off either. Like, I'm not just like, well, he's injured, he'll never be the same. Like, is there a world where that's possible and he's a little step back? Yeah, there's a world, but I think there's also potential that he does get back to being that guy.
Well, that's the debate we had about Strider. Is Strider going to be a 100-mile-an-hour guy? Maybe not. You know, that might not be, you know, that's why he's going to have to develop that third pitch, maybe a fourth pitch.
And he's working there. Yeah, he's working his way there. I'm not worried about Strider either. I think over the last year he's become a lot more knowledgeable about becoming a pitcher, not a thrower. And if you know the difference, the difference. I think Ronald's going to be just fine, too. And look, if the biggest concern is a slight step back defending the angles of right field, we need him in the lineup doing what he does in the lineup and on the bases. And I don't think it's going to be affecting there.
Hey, got a big show for you today. Our usual visit with Bryant McFadden gets pushed back. He's doing some CBS stuff. So 3 o'clock, we'll talk some NFL. I'll ask BMAC, when you were a pro, did you ever even look at the schedule? Did you care? Were there days you're like, ooh, okay. Or is it just like, hey, man, I go where I'm told. We'll find out from BMAC at 3. Also coming up, Steve Coonan. Hawks CEO. Who is going to be our next grand poobah and head dishwasher of basketball? Because we don't really know. Yesterday we found out we were kicking the tires on the Raptors president and Ogiri. And I'm not sure where that goes. We'll ask Steve. I mean, as forthcoming as Steve can be about this sort of thing. And also talk about the schedule. Because one of the things you and I kind of got into yesterday was, you know, this Falcons schedule ain't easy, man. And, I mean, no blank Sherlock. When you got four playoff caliber teams coming to your house, you got to go on the road to a couple of playoff caliber teams. I mean, and there's always a team rising that you're not maybe anticipating. But this is, you know, 7.5 is the over-under for the Falcons' victories. And we're going to jump into that because, you know, we may be hard-pressed to get to 10. And 10 was my number last year. We were a lock. I had the over. You realize I had the over-under for 9. And it was like money in the bank. Yeah. You understand this, right? Yeah. I came back Halloween weekend from Tampa, right? With a scratch on my shin, I jumped off a boat. I landed on an anchor. Oh, that was a tetanus shot. That was bad. But that was where I did the call, and they had to dump the whole thing. I was like, "Hi, everybody!" Yeah. So, anyway, but that was the worst part was Cousins. The next week was New Orleans, and then the wheels came off.
Yep.
But after that game, if I had told you we weren't going to get to 9 wins, you'd have said no way.
Yeah, of course. And why wouldn't you? And here's the thing, and you know this, Mike. You've been and you gamble a little bit here and there with the futures. Vegas is not irresponsible with these numbers. They might be wrong every once in a while, and a team surprises them, as teams are able to do. They surprise us sometimes. They're not irresponsible with the number, though. And so they're not going to put it at some place where they can't find a way to win on both sides of that coin. So you may be upset by it. You may say no way. At the end of the day, though, the number's normally pretty close.
Yeah, and we said this yesterday for guys who don't really grab the cuts, because not everybody gambles. You know, we love to have a little fun with it. As we said, I think, you know, I've at least found a way as I've gotten older to compartmentalize it. Some guys can, some guys can't. But some guys, of course, go, "Nah, gambling, evil, nah." That's why we can't get a brick-and-mortar casino, let alone sports gambling on a phone here in Georgia. But as far as Vegas, when you're not as big a brand, you're not going to get as much money. I mean, so if this was, you know, if you set the over-under for the Cowboys at 7.5, there's a lot of dudes who go, "Oh, Cowboys, wah!" They'll go in, and all of a sudden, next, you know, that number moves up to 8, 8.5. Because with the Falcons, we just don't generate that kind of national juice. So that's why we're at 7.5. And they look at the schedule. They don't know. No one follows. That's like when you read an article. Who were we talking about yesterday wrote an article about the Falcons and Cousins?
Oh, Graziano?
Yeah. And
I'll get to him. Don't worry about that.
And we said this earlier. Guys, we know this team. We cover it. We talk to people every day about it. We know the guys in the building. And so we know it. And with all due respect, I mean, syndicated hosts are good at talking in broad strokes about a little bit of everything, and that's great. But, you know, they don't know the Falcons like we know the Falcons.
Yeah.
It's like I wouldn't presume to go on in Seattle and lecture them about the Seahawks, you know? I don't know the inner workings. We do. So they don't know that we anticipate our defense taking a really big leap this year. They just know we're a Falcons team which invested a risky pick in one guy, and we don't get after the quarterback. And they've got a quarterback in Michael Penix that we don't really know what he is yet. We've got high hopes for him. So, yeah, you could also say we're too close to it in the same sentence. But that's why a lot of folks nationally, especially this Kirk Cousins stuff, why is he still on the roster? Because we eat it. We're going to eat money. We're looking for a slim to none margin here that maybe, just maybe, somebody will need a quarterback between now and the start of the season.
And the problem I have with so many of these national dorks with all their takes is the idea that they think he shouldn't be here. So now they're writing an article based on that bias. And that doesn't make sense. And Graziano calls the Falcons stubborn. And maybe he wants to feel that way because he doesn't think Cousins should be here. That's fine. I feel like they haven't seen value yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with them holding on to Kirk Cousins until they see the value. It's not a situation where we're all just blindly saying there's nothing that could come around that would make them move him. No, they're looking for the right moment. I'm perfectly fine with being patient here.
But, I mean, it's a couple of things. I mean, if you took him and you just cut him before June 1st, the dead cap hit is $65
million. Where's the value?
Correct. If he's released post-June 1, it's what Carl has been banging the drum on since back in January. If you release him post-June 1st, the dead cap hit is then $40 million in 25 and $25 million in 2026. What we're looking for here is, again, first off, that's self-explanatory. Secondly is the idea that, as I said, yes, is it awkward to have him in there as you're turning the keys to Penix? Yes. But I think half that room, or maybe three-quarters of players, they don't give a crap. we as fans go, well, that's some BS. You basically lied about your status. Then you lied again about it in January. That would piss me off if I was a teammate. But most guys, I think they're focused on their own stuff, and they just say, hey, like Manny being Manny, that's Kirk being Kirk, whatever.
I think you're right. I think we feel it's awkward, and we're projecting that people in Flowery Branch will also feel that it's awkward. And I've said from the very start, Mike, I don't think that they feel that weird about it. I think a lot of people, whether we want to believe it as fans or talkers, whatever, I think the players, for the most part, understood why Cousins did what he did at every step of the way. They may not like how he handled it. They may not necessarily have done it that way themselves or even agree with it. But I think there's an understanding of why he's like, I'm fine, I can play. I think there's an understanding later on of why he said, I was hurt, here's what happened. I think there, along the line, every single time we had to bring up and talk about Cousins being here, I think the players understand why he did what he did, and I just don't think it's as big an issue in the clubhouse, in the locker room, as many fans seem to think it is.
Now, the article that I quoted, this is about a month and a half ago, and I had some guys coming at me, and Carl was laughing, because the guys, dude's killing Bell. It was a Bill Barnwell article that I was talking about on the radio that Barnwell said, look, you're not going to get anything, you know, for Cousins. I mean, if you feel no one's going to trade you anything other than maybe a sixth rounder or a seventh rounder tops, and you'd be paying for that. I mean, you'd basically be eating, you know, 75% at best of that salary. And maybe if you're lucky, you get a sixth round pick in a trade or something.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Just on the standards that no one's desperate now does not mean that no one will ever be desperate.
Right. But still, knowing that you're doing the Falcons a favor, any extra dollar you add, you don't have to do anything, because there's still the feeling out there that we will maybe despite what we just talked about, you know, the beginning of camp, cut him because you're not going to want to have him around. They've always maintained, now if you want to say this is a poker game and Terry has simply been throwing it out there, and we're like, come on, they're not going to have Kirk Cousins here. They're going to go get some mediocre backup, and then let's let Penix cook. But either way, they're still trying to create that sense of, and again, general managers, I would think, would know a fugazi when they see one. But the idea is, if the Steelers can't get Aaron Rodgers in, or Aaron Rodgers pulls an end around and goes to Minnesota, and somebody's looking for a quarterback, then maybe, just maybe, we could get something more than a sixth rounder.
Yeah, look, at some point down the road, if it comes
out. That's for 2026, of course, guys. The draft is coming. Go on.
If at some point it comes out that Terry was trying to fleece other teams, I can get upset about it at that time. I don't think that's what the situation is right now. I think he's trying to find some fair value for a quarterback that, and here's the other thing, Mike, like, I don't understand why everyone here is trashing Kirk Cousins' ability. If you're going along with the idea that he was hurt, do you think he's a quality quarterback still? Because I do.
Well, yeah. The problem was last year. He, that Raiders game. If you watch that Raiders game, you wouldn't sign him for nothing.
No. But he was hurt then. I'm saying if he's healthy now, the way he was those first 9 weeks,
he was a player of the week twice in the NFC, offensive player of the week. But is he now fully? Is it 100%? Because it really does take a year and a half to come off an Achilles injury.
Right.
Some people would say that. And then there's the fact that this guy just doesn't win. He's not clutch. Some of that is also the other side of the ball. Minnesota Vikings didn't play great defense the year they lost to the Giants. But he's always got that, you know, that sort of moniker is he's a guy that's going to be a great regular season QB. He's never going to bring home the bacon. But if you're in dire need of a quarterback, that doesn't matter. You just got to go get the guy and go to work. But I do believe somebody will need a quarterback at some point. But what are they going to be willing to give you? And by the way, if it's a team that doesn't have Super Bowl aspirations, if it's a team that's not a quarterback away and they're still looking to find their guy, I mean, there's so many variables in the equation. Who's going to bank on Kirk Cousins and give him a multi-year deal?
There are 10 teams I can think of off the top of my head. Now, I don't know financially what it would take, but that if their quarterback goes down, they're not turning the ball over to their backup long-term. And there's at least 10 of these teams.
Give me who? Go.
The Bengals.
Okay, that's one.
The Rams. They're going to go with Jimmy G?
Well,
The 49ers.
Yeah, they don't have anybody.
I mean, I can keep going. There's a number of these teams that are in these situations.
Keep going. You got three. You said 10.
Let me pull up the dang holy.
See, always, here's a great lesson.
Is Jacksonville?
Hold on. I'll go to the PGA leaderboard here while you recalibrate. Always undersell and overperform. Hey, man, it is time to give you a PGA Championship leaderboard update. We're doing it all day long and all throughout the weekend, guys, here on 99 The Game, your home of major championship golf. We got the PGA Championship from up there at Quail Hollow covered. Leaderboard brought to you by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come visit our new locations and by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. It covers coverage continues all weekend long right here on The Game. Hey, man, one of the great names in sports, Johnny Vegas, 3 under today. He's almost done. He's got one more hole to go. He's 10 under leading this thing. A Frenchman named Pavon. He's at 6 under. Luke Donald at 5 under. Bunch of dudes you never heard of. And then we're waiting to see if we can hopefully get Rory McIlroy to get things cooking. Bryson DeChambeau is at 3 under for the round, so he's turned things around. Fitzpatrick, the Englishman who won the U.S. Open a couple years back, 3 under. But a lot of guys you're rooting for that aren't near the leaderboard just yet. Again, stay tuned. More updates on the PGA throughout the day. We'll come back. Abe will give you more teams that could use Kirk Cousins if their starter goes out. When we come back, the Daily Download on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Thanks for hanging with us on a Friday. Watching some of the G today. It's kind of fun watching these guys struggle at times. Get a little rough in the rough. You see Scheffler bellyaching about his muddy balls yesterday. A couple guys, they're not allowed. For guys who don't play golf, if it's a little wet out there, generally if you're playing with your boys, unless you're playing for money, in which case, you know, maybe some guys being a real stickler. But even then, if your ball's got some, you know, schmutz on it, basically you're allowed to get your ball, you know, clean it off with a towel and put it back down on the ground and hit it. And so Scheffler basically had a ball, it looked like a dirt yarmulke on the thing. So when he goes to hit it, it just kind of goes, meh, and then he had a bogey, and so he was all in his bag about it. So a lot of folks are saying, like, come on, Scotty, other guys had to play with dirty balls. Buck up, son.
Play it as it lies. That way your shot might be as pitiful as mine. So.
Right. But again, for most of us, you're just happy to get it near the green. These guys actually can, you know, spin it and get it to go where they want it. So when it does have like a big wedge of dirt on it, it does make things more difficult. But again, that was a storyline from yesterday. Anyway, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. More updates on the PGA coming up. Right now, though, it's time for our Daily Download.
Story number one.
Hey, man, the Braves heading to Beantown in some really good pitching matchups. Abe pointed that out yesterday. Yesterday, the Braves got the win because Drake Baldwin continues to rake.
2-2. And Baldwin does it again. A couple of hits. This one produces a run. It's 3-0, and once again, the Braves have him at the corners.
Love this guy. And it's funny. You know, I got like 67,000 people viewed that tweet about, like, let's just roll with Drake and get Murph off the books. I'm not the only guy that feels a certain way about one Sean Murphy.
We'll see.
All right.
I'm still concerned about two things.
Yes.
I do think the sample size is a little out of whack, and I think there will be a little bit. But also the splits. We need to dive deeper into the righty-lefty splits to really feel good about it. But I will say this. He's on a heater right now, and I agree with you. Until they do adjust, right, and until we do start to see a slide, hopefully we don't, but assuming, right?
Right.
I agree with you. You've got to find ways to get him as many at-bats as possible. He's your number one option off the bench in games he's not playing. No doubt about that.
He just makes things happen. He rakes, and Sean Murphy's just so sluggish. The thing about him, and again, remember Austin Riley? He came up, hit like a house of fire, and then there was almost like the first season, almost in a half, where it looked like, uh-oh, they figured him out.
Right.
And again, and I get it, and that's what Grant McCauley brought up yesterday, saying, look, let's not overreact, be prisoner of the moment. But my thing is, you know, the Braves are cheap, guys. What do you mean they're cheap? They're top 10 in payroll. Yes, but the jump from where they are at 8 or 9 to like where 5 is nearly $100 million. It's just under 90. So if you want to get this guy and Murph off the books, provided somebody's interested in taking a guy that's all glove, no stick, I'm just saying, big picture, get more pitching in there, you know, bring in some washed up oldie. They got one of those guys in Gwinnett right now, McCann, and then get another guy. I'm just saying, if Drake continues to rake. One of the things that I've been worried about, not an issue yesterday, was Iglesias. He got it done.
This could be it. 4-6-3. Braves win. And Atlanta takes 3 of 4 from the Nats. And the Braves are back at 500. 22 wins, 22 losses.
Look at Rysell saying, finally, man. I get ground balls right to people like you're supposed to. Good outing for him.
Some of it was some bad luck, too, but he also puts guys on base.
Yeah, and again, it's just funny because look, it was a double play ground ball to end it. That's why is there a guy on base? Or another really tough luck ground ball. And look, a couple outings before that, you go back deeper into previous appearances, you look at the home run issues, that's there. All right, I'm not trying to completely oversell the fact that it's just been bad luck. Recently, though, I would make that case. He has been beaten by weak shots, 50-footers, 60-footers, weird spin, throwing errors. The last 3 or 4 outings have been very bad luck. Before that, with all the home runs, still an issue. But he's had some tough luck recently.
Need a better closer. All right, man, let's hear what Ronald Acuna did up there in Gwinnett. That's story number two.
Story number two.
Let's hear what it sounded like up there for the Stripers.
Here's the 0-1. And a hard hit line drive base hit into left field under the diving glove of Tristan Gray. One at bat, one smoked baseball, 106 miles an hour off the barrel there for Ronald Acuna Jr.
It's ahead 3-0 in the count. As Dunn fires, this one cracked deep towards left center field. Back goes Fletcher on the track, it's off the wall. Acuna rounding first, he stands up at second. We've certainly seen the pop today for Ronald Acuna Jr.
From the Stripers, did they put that on, is on YouTube? Is that where that was, D-Day? Was it streaming? Where did we get this from? On the radio? Up there in Gwinnett? Is that where I'm just trying to give him credit. Nice job. We'll figure it out. No, it's just, you know, trying to give credit to the young broadaster who's calling the game.
Yeah, well, I'm making sure I
give credit. Whose name escapes me right now.
To Ronald Acuna, because the bat is there. For everyone who continues to talk about it, the bat is there. It's the other aspects that I think is the reason that he's still in the minors for the moment, working on a couple things. Obviously wants to get comfortable running the bases, and look, straight line to first, straight line, whatever. It's about making those turns, being aggressive, the shifting in weight as he's taking leadoff, stuff like that. And then obviously there were some issues in the field, Mike, and I think that's okay. I think that's to be expected. That's why he's on a rehab start. I'm more concerned about him getting that figured out than anything at the plate, and I think he will get this figured out. I saw some of your tweets, and obviously we had our pre-show conference call, right. And I'm just not that concerned about the fielding long term. I know some people maybe a little bit more than me, and I'm just being optimistic on this one.
But I mean, again, where's the worst cutting little league team? You put him in right field, so we'll figure it out. But again, he's going to be as good as he was coming up. By the way, who was the call? I want to give credit. Day-Day, we know who these people are.
Yes, Peachtree TV is where you, the game was.
Thank you.
And it's Dave, I want to say it's Lizat.
Okay.
And Logan Borandas.
There you go. I mean, Dave, you know, if you were doing that, you'd want people to give you credit if we were putting the sound on the radio.
Of course.
Thank you. On to story number three, the association.
Story number three.
Hey, man, Thunder going to blow this?
No. No.
No?
Look, how many games in a row do we need to see? And really in both series, because you got the Celtics tonight. Role players step up in home games. Last night it was Julian Strother, made some big threes, poured some points in the paint as well. Jamal Murray, a little under the weather. He still played well. Jokic did Jokic things. They're able to win. The other day for the Celtics at home, Mike, it was Luke Kornet. What do you have, 7 blocks, 5 of 5 from the field? You know, so role players step up in home games. Do they travel? I still like both home teams.
Well, Oklahoma City is a team that's actually better known for some of its parts. You know, the other guy, and their bench was kind of missing in action. Jalen Williams, J-A-L-E-N, the big Jalen, he was also M-I-A, so just 6 points. And he's got a contract coming up. So I know that they were talking about that on the broadcast last night. So, you know, not that you're going to, you know, just say one sample size, but he's kind of disappeared day-to-day in the playoffs 2 years in a row now for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, on the other side of that, you also got, Abe and I were talking about, you got our guy Aaron Gordon and you know, doing the same thing. So this is going to be a really intriguing matchup. I heard Randy saying earlier, it looks like it's going to be one of those nights. If the Nuggets are going to get it done, A, you need Murray to kind of repeat what he did last night. But then you also need Joker to probably go 40-10-10.
And I could argue that, you know, and you said Strother, that's, again, another worker bee to Abe's point. But if Russell Westbrook can ever summon like a 20-point night, and again, he's done it here and there. And I know that's not his thing now at this stage, Abe, but I'm still going to bet on Joker and the dad bod to maybe pull this off in 7 games.
Well, it's also, look, this is a team here, Mike, that I know they don't have their coach because they fired him a couple weeks ago, but this is a team coached by Jokic that does have playoff credential, right? And OKC, for as good as they've been all season, for as good as they were last year as well, the pressure of a game 7 in front of your home audience, Denver can handle that. They've been here before.
And let's hear what it sounded like from SGA, because now the heat is on.
Do or die. It's what you live for. It's what you worked your whole life for. It's either your dream continues or your dream ends. So you lay it all out there on the floor and live with the results. But yeah, I'm excited for the opportunity for sure.
You want to sing it with me? This is it. Make no mistake about it. This is it. No, I mean, it is. Game 7. Tonight at the Garden, can Jalen Brown do it again? I think he can.
I think they certainly need to.
Brunson's going to have to go off if the Knicks are going to not blow this, right?
From the Knicks' perspective, they need it tonight. And again, you go back to Luke Kornet. Is he going to step up? Probably not. And also, look, this was the first game 5 I'm talking about. Was the first instance the Knicks had seen of the Celtics without Jason Tatum. They've now had 48 hours to study the adjustments, study the changes, and how the Celtics were a little bit different with just Jaylen Brown, no Tatum. Do they adjust? Does Thibodeau adjust, and are they more prepared at home? They better be, because if it goes back to Boston, that is real trouble.
It's over. Yeah. Knicks are not going to win if they got to go back to Boston. First time in the series, Knicks are actually a favorite. 2.5 tonight at the Mecca, so we'll see what happens. Hey, earlier this hour, if you guys are just tuning in, we were talking about the chance for the Falcons. By the way, the Daily Download brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. I've lost like almost 40 pounds thanks to these guys, man. Thanks to
looking good, man.
Thank you, brother. Dr. J, let me tell you something, brother. You're going to feel the sting, brother, when you drop the hammer, brother, with ATL Live Well. Well, I want to get those teams, because Abe did have a bunch of teams, and he makes a good argument. I was breaking his balls, but there are some teams, and that's why national media really doesn't give us. Now, you could argue that you're really waiting for the stars to align for somebody to lose a starting quarterback in the summer, you know, basically during camp. You know, somebody to pull something or have an injury, and then you got to go call the Falcons and get Kirk Cousins. But you got some teams, so we'll get into those. And also, Mina Kimes, friend of the Falcons and Falcon fans.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Explain. Ever tell you about my old man? Run into Billy Joel on the North Shore of Long Island, like 1982. He was with a bunch of guys riding Harleys, and Billy Joel's bike was busted down on the side of the road, and they pulled over and was helping him out and just chatting him up, and next thing you know, my dad's hanging out with Billy Joel. Took him over to the diner for breakfast. Pretty cool. And I was a little kid. No, not like 13, 14, but I was kind of, my old man's like, you're not going to believe who I ran into. I was like, who? Billy freaking Joel. Get out of here. It's kind of cool.
That was at the height of his powers, too.
Yeah, glass houses and everything else. Yeah, man. And right about the time he met Christie Brinkley. You know, they were a little too pop for me, a little too top 40, you know. An uptown girl.
Guy. Billy Joel's my guy.
Oh, I love Billy Joel.
My one seed.
If you grow up in New York, and I moved to Long Island when I was a little kid. But yeah, that's the soundtrack. That's kind of like what Springsteen would be for Jersey people.
Yeah, I grew up here. Yeah. I listen to what my dad listened to. My dad listened to Billy Joel. So Billy Joel's my one seed in terms
of. Very cool. I like the guy, man. Not pretentious guy's guy, regular dude. Hey, man, there you go. A little useless trivia to know and tell. It is Dukes and Bell. Earlier in the show, we were talking about, was it Dan Graziano who wrote the article?
Yep.
And he was basically saying, like, what are the Falcons doing? They're being stubborn with Kirk Cousins. No, I mean, it's bad enough we're stuck with this albatross around our neck of a contract. We're trying to, you know, find a way to mitigate the cost. And part of that, as Carl pointed out, all offseason long, if you cut them before June 1st, you eat a ton of more money. Post June 1 is one savings, and then there's always the chance. Now, this is where we can get into what are the odds that anybody in the NFL loses a starting quarterback in minicamp or in regular camp or at the point before the season begins? Or do you intend to hold Kirk Cousins literally on your roster for this season, and then he'll be the backup wearing the baseball hat?
Or potentially, because I think in season as well, early, right? But before teams have played their ways in or out. But within the first 3 weeks of the season, one quarterback, I don't know who, someone's going to go down for the season.
We discussed, you know, the weirdness or maybe the lack of weirdness, as we said. And we asked Brian McFadden about this. We had Ovi Mahaly on. Talked to a couple of guys a few months ago about this. And they said, yeah, some guys might think he's full of crap. And other guys just say, look, it's how he handles his money and how he handles his marketability. And so a lot of guys don't begrudge him the fact. Now, the fan would go, well, hey, were you lying in October or lying in January or both? But, you know, but to a teammate, you know, they don't care.
And quite frankly, like half the teammates, I don't care how they do or don't treat him. I care how one teammate is treated and right. treats him. And that's Michael Penix and their relationship.
Right.
Because if those two are clean and he's still helping Penix on the ins and outs on the daily basis, I don't really care if someone on the D-line has a problem with him or if a safety has a problem with him.
All right, so you had a list of teams. And,
yeah.
And this is where teams, most NFL teams don't have a great backup situation.
Correct.
I mean, historically, you know, we have actually not had the worst. We, you know, it's so funny. We were pining for Taylor Heinicke, and he came out and he was basically as mediocre as Ritter.
Yeah.
You know, that. Remember the Tennessee game in the second half? It was like, I was waiting for that. So who do we got? Give me some guys. Give me some teams that would be up. Whoop, creek.
I wrote down 20 teams here, Mike, that I think believe themselves to be in serious playoff competition.
All right, so let's set the scenario. It's in August or it's the first couple of weeks in September.
Yeah.
This team X or YZ loses a quarterback. Go.
Bills, they going to turn their season over to Mitch Trubisky or Kirk Cousins?
Mm.
The Ravens, they turning the season over to Cooper Rush or Kirk Cousins?
Do you feel that offense with Todd Monken is built towards the specific skill set of Lamar Jackson?
It's not the best fit, but I do think they can make adjustments.
I'm going to say shenanigans that, but I like the first
fine one.
Okay.
The Bengals turning it over to Jake Browning?
Ooh.
The Steelers right now have Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that's untenable.
And if he goes down, they're turning it over to Will Howard. CJ Stroud goes down. Davis Mills getting a call.
Yikes.
The Jaguars lose Trevor Lawrence and Nick Mullins. Ready to roll?
Nick Mullins. Man, this goes back to the argument from like 10 years ago about Kaepernick. Like,
yeah.
You can't believe these are some of the backups around. Like, go ahead. Keep going.
Second-year star Bo Nix goes down. Jarrett Stidham gets the call.
Yeah, that's damaged goods.
The one I will say, the Chiefs have Gardner Minshew. They're probably okay there.
Serviceable backup.
Chargers have Taylor Heinicke and Trey Lance.
Okay. I have no idea what Trey Lance is. No one knows what Trey Lance is.
Dak goes down. Joe Milton's getting a call.
Well, that's why they made the trade. They believe in Joe Milton because when Joe Milton took over for Drake May, he actually didn't stink. Now, it's a tiny sample size, but he would have been. If he didn't have the knee injury at Tennessee,
right.
I think he's starting somewhere in the league.
And I do think they view him, though, as a developmental piece. Is he ready to win now? Is that a call they make? The Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and same thing with the offense, by the way. Tanner McKee, Kyle McCord, or Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Ooh, that's thin. Yeah, that's a thin
one. Commanders going with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
And he might be fine. The Bears turning it over if Caleb goes down to Tyson Bagent or Case Keenum.
Wow. Man, these are some awful names.
The Lions have Kyle Allen and Hendon Hooker. I'll go a little faster here.
No.
The Packers have Malik Willis. Now, the Bucks in division, you're probably not making the trade, but in that situation, it is Kyle Trask.
Okay.
The Cardinals have Jacoby Brissett. They may stay there. The Rams have Jimmy Garoppolo, Stetson Bennett. They may stay there. 49ers, if Brock Purdy does sign and he goes down, Mac Jones, you can kiss it goodbye. Seahawks, they're probably okay with Drew Lock and a combination of Jalen Milrow.
Right.
I mentioned 10 teams. That's 20. You could probably scratch seven or eight of them.
And this is why when we talked about – now, the odds – all this – the caveat, of course, is that someone has to get hurt. One of those quarterbacks has to go down, and that's the only way that the Falcons – and then all of a sudden, to Abe's point, the Bill Barnwell point from ESPN a couple months ago maybe is a moot point, that all of a sudden, yes, if somebody's over a barrel, maybe you can finesse a fourth-round or a fifth-round pick, you know, plus you know, someone mitigating some of the cap hit.
And by the way, these are only the teams that I think I qualified by your saying – that are competitors, right? Because, you know,
there's other teams that are sitting now. Again, I know that everybody felt that this year was sort of a lean quarterback class. Next year might be a better one. There might be something. Again, we don't tank in the NFL, despite what Mike Greenberg says. But, you know, certainly you're going to have teams that are going to say, well, we're better off just going in another direction and then getting a better quarterback next year, perhaps. But you're right.
And certainly more teams than others, right? Specifically the Bengals, and there are a couple others. The 49ers is a big one for me because they know their window's closing. I just don't know if they're turning it over there to Nick Mullins. I think that, in my opinion, has always been the game plan.
Right.
Whether it's a bigger risk than it is reward on the back end, if it does or doesn't happen, that's a discussion. This has always been the game plan for me in regards to Kirk Cousins. I never felt he was going to be moved until someone goes down in camp preseason. Mm. Or early in the regular season.
So that's why when we talk about, you know, why are they doing what they're doing with Kirk, we've already debated the, you know, the personnel department angle, the HR department. How do you get along with others, Kirk? Because, you know, some guys probably don't give a flip. And one thing for certain, you know, and I know we all kind of laughed when it was said by our general manager, well, you know, we budgeted for this. Yeah, we budgeted for a $45 million backup quarterback. But I mean, but technically, they kind of did because you were expecting Penix Jr. to eventually be eased into the job by year three.
Can I ask you the what would be the weirdest, oddest scenario that we certainly are not hoping comes, is that what happens if Penix gets hurt?
Don't even say it.
Because I want to discuss that. Mike, we got to have a discussion.
No, we're not. We're not.
Well,
no, that's
out.
Bad. That's, dude, that juju is so bad. You can't.
I just want to know how fans are going to react after trashing Kirk Cousins for however long it's been now,
right,
to him being the sole representative of the hopes of the season.
Well, it goes
if
like,
it comes
to it that. Goes like this. All right. We drafted a guy that, again, I think is going to be a great fit in the NFL. You know where I stand on this. I'll die on that hill. I'll argue it to the day I'm done. They pulled this microphone from my cold, numb fingers. That signing Cousins and drafting Penix is the stupidest thing in the history of the NFL.
Agreed.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, and the coach wanted one guy, and the general manager had fell in love with the other. And I'm glad he did. Because, you know, then Cousins got hurt. If anything, the coach was in a tough spot because it was unprecedented territory. You know, and I get it. I pressed Terry on it. I mean, I pressed Raheem on it that week after the Charger game. He felt it was a one-possession game, and as bad as Cousins looked, he was still not going to go with the rookie in that situation. But then you move on down the line, they had to. And the Raider game was just, everybody in the country now saw that Kirk Cousins can't do anything. So, but getting back to where he was the two-time NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That effort in Mercedes-Benz in the Thursday night game is one of the greatest Falcon games of all freaking time at home, if we're honest. I mean, you put that up there with anything Mike Vick put on tape, that was one of the most unbelievable passing performances, period. You know, it is the single franchise game record for throwing a football.
It's also, just by happenstance, one of my all-time favorite statistical anomalies for a quarterback. Because if I recall correctly, Mike, the record he threw was for 509 yards. The statistical anomaly is that he was also the first Falcons quarterback to throw for 250 yards in each half. Like, the fine line to have 509 total and still fit 250 in each half, I love the numbers on that.
And then I was down there in Tampa where, again, before the wheels came off, Kirk strokes that. He makes that throw to Darnell Mooney. You know the one I'm talking about where he threads the needle into the nickel coverage? It was beautiful. I mean, just – and I saw the whole play develop from where we were sitting on the sideline. And then to see Kirk on the sideline talking to his O-line, working with everybody, I'm like, I even tweeted, look at Kirk, he's like a coach out there. And that's everything was great until it wasn't.
Yeah.
Until McGarry trips on Lindstrom, and then pow, and he goes down, and then he starts sailing throws all over the place in New Orleans, and then we get back to the point we're making that he just was damaged goods, wasn't the same guy because he was threatened by Michael Penix Jr. And he just if it was just a regular backup,
right,
perhaps Cousins would have said, "I'm not right. Take 2 weeks off." But because he was threatened by this, he wasn't going to stay in Minnesota because they were going to draft a quarterback. That's why he lied and pretended he was okay.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. And that's why when it goes back to, like, the players are probably aware of how it worked out, why he did what he did. I think they're more understanding of it. But I don't know, man. Like, we've just been – not necessarily you or I, but this city, for the most part, has just been trashing Kirk Cousins for so long at this point, really since that Saints game. And it's just like, man, like, worst comes to worst, if Cousins has to start for this team because something bad happens, like, it's going to be a heavy turnaround for a lot of Falcons fans to now have to get back behind that guy.
Well,
that's
again,
all.
I'm just hoping that never, ever has to happen.
Same.
But I am just, as a fan, and I said this, you know, a million times, and again, if you're new to the show, hi, I'm Mike, that's Abe filling in for Carl. But it's just, I've never seen a guy come in and be more likable, more affable, more personable. And this isn't a knock at anybody else who came before him as far as a quarterback. But it was just, Matt got treated like crap, you know, because, you know, he came in this brutal situation of being post Mike Vick that he was always had his armor up, you know, and Lord knows, I wrote a blog saying let's trade his ass in 2015. So I can understand why, you know, wouldn't want to maybe, you know, chew the fat with you. But this guy, I was blown away. I said it on that day at doing the show at Hooters after the third day of camp. I'm like, wow, I love Kirk Cousins. What a guy's guy. This guy, you know, if you watch on quarterbacks on Netflix, he really is the real deal. That's why I was just so blown away by these antics that started with, you know, oh, no, injury report, that's a clerical error, I'm fine. And then just to go and try to, with the help of his agent, rehabilitate his image to improve his marketability for perhaps being traded, demand a trade to Arthur, to thread the needle of going to a team that doesn't have a backup who's going to play for a job, please. Either way, here's where we stand. Abe gave you the scenarios if, in fact, somebody around the league gets injured. Other thing that came up today, I just saw it during the commercial break, Mina Kimes, who I think does a great job, of all the things, she says the Falcons are the best fan base in the league. Explain this one.
The Atlanta Falcons are the best fan base in the entire NFL. They have been through the most. Nobody has been through 28-3. Sorry. They by far have the weirdest team. They endure all of this constant ongoing humiliation with equanimity, poise, resilience. They also have the perfect blend of nihilism with a tiny bit of hope that I find unbelievably charming.
They act as if we walked into their apartment when it's very messy and they're kind of like, yeah, we know. Like, we know. They're not like defiant, being like, this is a clean room. They're like, I'm sorry, we didn't, this is kind of embarrassing. Like, they get it. We've talked about this. If the Philly fan base had gotten a hold of the Penix Kirk Cousins thing and we criticized it, they'd go, oh, you don't get it. You're not smart enough to get it. Oh, I'm so sorry you don't get it. The Falcons fans are like, I don't know what the hell is going on. We'll figure this out. The entire premise of the Falcons organization since the day after Kirk Cousins was signed is that Michael Penix is the best quarterback in existence. And I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But I do know the Falcons fans are taking it, as you said, with grace, in stride, and I admire them.
Most of them understand that the James Pierce trade in the draft, the criticism is warranted, but they also are allowing themselves to get excited and hopeful that one of these pass rushers that they've drafted will work out.
They're rooting for the pilot. They're on the plane and they don't know what's going on, but they're rooting for the pilot to stay in the air.
It's a great analysis. I mean, that they really, it's funny. We were just talking about how so many folks around the country do not get us.
Yeah.
You know, and again, ESPN and Fox, sometimes we're like the fly, we're part of the flyover states. We're not New York. You know, it's ESPN Sports Center. It's either LeBron or it's the Yankees, Red Sox, or Cowboys. You know, it's Stephen A. screaming about some nonsense. That's it. We rarely get in the conversation. We get screwed out of an All-Star game over a voting bill that half the city doesn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, let alone the country. Everybody wanted to blow vegan on that. You know, everyone had a take on that. So, and it just, it's easy to think of us, oh, we do the chop. Oh, the Chiefs fans do the chop, but we're all a bunch of dumb goobers down here. You know, that just drives me crazy. But that's the one of the first people nationally who gets us.
Yeah, and that was
Kevin, and I love it. Great job, Mina.
That was Kevin Clark along with Mina Kimes talking about the Falcons. It makes you feel good a little bit to get some representation that for something that's not a negative. Like, there's so much of the stuff Falcons fans have had to deal with being made fun of for a variety of reasons. Only your team would do this. And we're like, yeah, we know. We know we're the only team that's doing this. But, hey, man, we're going to try and make the best of it. Get some respect for
it. We talked about it yesterday. That's why, you know, I gave that little soliloquy about my dad and how you stick with your team. You ride with your team. You ride and die with your team. And in the 2025 we live in, nobody wants to put in that heartbreak equity. That's why, guys, you see those guys who wear Cowboys gear and they have a Yankee hat and have a LeBron jersey. You guys are frauds. You're phonies. If you grew up in Mississippi, okay, you get a pass, okay? You didn't have a team to root for in the pro sports world. But everybody else, lock on. Put the work in, man. It's a better payoff. And when we finally ever get to that top of the mountain, it'll be unbelievable. No one will understand except for the people Mina was just talking about. We'll come back. More NFL with our man, Brian McFadden, right here on Dukes of Bell.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.